Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Osterberger at BIC Alliance and BIC Magazine. I'm joined by James Richard of Shell Projects and Technology, and we're talking a little productivity and assessment of contractor competence in the downstream construction industry. Jimmy, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
Fantastic. Jimmy, tell everybody where you're dialing in from for this video interview.
Yeah, so Jimmy Richard dialing in from home, like the majority of everybody in the world. Been working from home for the past several months, and home to me is just outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Nice, man. My hometown as well. Go Tigers. So, Jimmy, let's talk AWP, man. Advanced Work Packaging is commonly known as the overall process of work packaging for projects, and the process of advanced work packaging guides sort of the dissection of project scope so that it supports the execution of workforce planning out in the field. So, you know, in your experience, has AWP really improved productivity in your estimation?
Yeah, actually it has. So, you know, what workplace planning or advanced work packaging now is called does is it adds visibility to what you know, what you're executing. It adds visibility to understand what the interfaces are between engineering, procurement, construction, and even within construction, the different interfaces within the trades. So really it breaks down barriers, breaks down walls, and it allows construction to really have a voice early on in the life cycle of the project, where before a lot of projects were more engineering driven. You would be at the mercy of engineering, how they would typically execute their ways of working, and you would receive drawings or documents or deliverables based on their schedule. Perfect example, getting civil foundation drawings with holds on them all the way until final equipment shows up at site to understand what the anchor bolt template needs to look like. That might be taken a bit extreme, but that's an example where the AWP process really allows construction to get in early, define the path of construction, break the project down into smaller bite-sized building blocks, which we call CWAs and further defined in the CWPs, define the path of construction for the most optimal efficiency, safest execution, and really aligns engineering and procurement to sequence their activities to support that path of construction. So really, efficiency and being productive in the field, it's no secret. You got to have the people, and you got to have the material, and you got to have the work fronts in front of them. And folks want to work, they want to work smart, and they want to get things done, and they want to be efficient. If you can remove all those barriers, it just allows better efficiency.
You know, Jimmy, when you talked about some of the productivity factors, you know, do some of those factors change and vary by the size of the project? And maybe even just thinking outside the box here, I mean, different countries, different norms, right? Even different regions. And of course, then you factor in weather and things like that. I mean, help me out with, are productivity factors different based on some of the factors I just mentioned?
Yeah, they are. So kind of breaking it down into different buckets. You talk about project size. So it's all about scalability. Mm-hmm. AWP is an investment. You've got processes, you've got tools that you need to invest in to add, digital visibility. And you also have people that you need to run that. On a very small project, a handful of folks could be a bigger percentage for the TIC versus those indirects on a larger project to support AWP. It's scalable. So you need to understand what makes the best value for your project, what tools with regards to work packaging, track and trace, completions, you know, digital completions, and just, you know, there's a number of digital software tools out on the market today. They all cost money, but they all should deliver value to your project. Understanding your investment and then what your value, you know, your return on that investment is going to be, makes a lot of sense. And like I said, it's scalable. So understanding, you know, where that threshold is for your investment on your project. You know, you mentioned productivity in different parts of the world or different regions. Yeah, there's some areas in the world where labor cost is much, much cheaper than it is in America. Much cheaper than what it is in the Gulf Coast or maybe up in the Northeast. So for us in America, labor cost is, you know, roughly 30 to 40% TIC on a project. Whereas in the Far East, you know, labor cost is much, much cheaper. Therefore, you know, material construction equipment might be the things that you want to save on in those areas of the world. So understanding your project, understanding your market, is important when it comes to that.
Hey, Jimmy, you mentioned some digitalization and its impact on productivity in the field. Wow. Can you elaborate that a little bit more, specific softwares and, you know, I also am interested in kind of like culturally, how, you know, what is that like and how has that been in your experience as far as implementation?
Yeah. So on every project, we have multiple sets of data, you know, engineering and procurement and construction. We're not short on data. But understanding how to store that data and how that data relates to the next you know, the next person that's going to be using it. Example there is engineering creates tag numbers for each piece of equipment, line numbers for each line, interface points within the model. Understanding how that data is put together and how you can use that without recreating data in the procurement phase and in the construction phase eliminates some redundancies. It also eliminates some room for error. You know, talking about some of the different tools and things. Majority of all your construction projects or majority of all your projects now are built in a 3D model. So your engineering firm develops the project within a 3D model. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier about AWP, setting up CWAs and CWPs and defining a path of construction. If you go into the model and you set the attributes within the model for what CWAs, you know, what your boundaries are and your envelopes of those CWAs and the CWPs, you code that correctly, you code every piece of tagged equipment to that specific CWA or CWP, then when procurement buys it within their procurement system, they understand what the priorities are for a receive on site date based on the CWAs and the path of construction that construction set earlier. Therefore, that data just kind of transfer from a priority from the construction model or from the path of construction definition over to procurement, and then eventually into construction. But as far as some of the tools, you know, I mentioned 3D model, that's kind of the, that's kind of the Bible when it comes to where all the data resides, you know, how the project's being built. That's what really spits out the majority of your deliverables. So 3D model to a work packaging software need to really integrate and talk with each other. Your procurement system from the engineering who's buying all the material, tagged equipment, that to a field material management software. That way they can talk. Your work packaging software to your material management software. Completion software to interact and relate to all of those as well. And the list really goes on and on. You know, what's really key is making sure your data is consistent all the way through, and understanding what the understanding what tools you want to use early on in project development, and really defining what those digital threads or what the you know, how those different tools and different systems are going to talk back and forth to each other, and really setting a you know, kind of a rule on how the data needs to be set up.
And Jimmy, once that project is completed, you know, how does Shell go about assessing industrial construction contractor performance, and sort of what is that process for learning and then ultimately improvement?
So, you know, much like every company, we all have continuous improvement, right? We all have lesson learned. So just, you know, nothing different than what the industry does. Formal look back on lessons learned, continuous improvement, what's new in the market, and what we can learn from.
And then my last question, Jimmy, is, you know, as digitalization improves knowledge transfer, certainly with COVID-19, there's a lot of expectation that, you know, sort of the silver tsunami of talent exiting in this industry over the past, you know, 10 or so years, COVID-19 could expedite a little bit of that as far as professionals and folks that have been in the industry a long time and reaching retirement, right? So, man, what is your expectation or fears, you know, as far as passing that knowledge and transferring it faster? And does some of the digitalization, do you expect, you know, to really help that process? It's almost like we've been preparing for this kind of mentality.
Yeah. Good question. You know, I don't know if there's a right answer for that, to be quite honest. COVID-19 hit everybody, but you know, we were the world was moving digital. The good thing about the workforce, you know, entering and the, you know, kind of the folks who are you know, coming into the industry that have been in the industry 10 to 15 years, they're a younger crowd who understand digitalization. You know, and really they embrace it. So, you know, from my experience, some of the folks really, when we brought on new digital tools, tools that integrated with one another, working on, you know, iPads and things of that nature, some of those guys, man, they took it and they ran with it and were coming back to us with ways to improve the system, new bells and whistles that they found on their own, and really feedback on how to get better, how to be more efficient. So I think, you know, COVID-19, of course, is, we're all learning to get better in a virtual world. We're all learning to work, in the digital space a bit better. It has done nothing but, I think, fast forward that a bit. Right. So, yeah, I think it's forcing us to get more digital, more virtual.
Yeah, well, Jimmy, we know you got to get back to it, man, and just very appreciative of your time today. And, hey, man, let's look forward to exploring some other topics down the road, if that's good with you.
Yeah, you bet.
Look, everybody, I appreciate you joining us today. And until next time, stay safe and stay prosperous.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.